In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Every once in a while, and today is one of those onces in a while, I think it would be fun to preach in a big box church. You know, one of the big ones where you had a budget for a set. Because if I had a big budget for a set that I could change every Sunday, I would put a football goalpost right there at the top of the steps of the chancel this morning. And that's where it would be. The goalpost would be standing right here. And when it came time for the gospel procession, I would invite the acolyte to come forward with a big yellow poster with John 3:16 written in blue letters. And it would, as soon as I said the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, up would come John 3:16, we would pause quietly for a moment, and then we would say the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, acolyte would go back, and the gospel procession would be over. There, right there, standing there, football goalpost with John 3:16. Isn't it interesting that this one passage of Scripture is the one passage of Scripture that we all know in the American culture if you watch football, right? So we have one passage of Scripture that shows up everywhere. It's a curious thing, actually, that some of our good friend believers buy the worst seat in the football stadium and get this big poster and bring it, and they think it's very important to put this passage up in front of the cameras. For believers, it's fine because we see it and we know it, right? We go, oh, that's the one piece of Scripture I know. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, right? I got that one. But for non-believers, I'm not sure what it even represents. For people that are not familiar with the Scriptures, it's somebody's name with some numbers on the board. And that guy has the same seat at every football game. For the real non-believers, it becomes just another way to ridicule believers. Right? Make fun of us for thinking this matters. But it's a curious thing. We want people to know about Jesus. And so we have this one passage. And as long as that passage remains between the goalposts, it has one meaning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall have eternal life. And so it has become a magic mantra. If I can just talk you into accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and saying these words, you will get to go to heaven when you die. And that's all that really matters. And as long as you leave John 3:16 between the goalposts, that's what you get. But I think it's a whole lot more interesting if you pull outside the goalposts and see what Jesus is doing. I wonder if anybody that sees that phrase actually knows that this is a sentence that's being said in the middle of a very strange conversation in the middle of the night between Jesus and Nicodemus. So if you push outside the goalpost, you get a context. You get the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. And He's juxtaposing light and dark, flesh and water in the Spirit. Juxtaposing these things. If we push even further outside the goalposts, we see that Nicodemus came at night. So we see this literary technique that the writer is using to show us that the flesh, the world, the darkness is seeking the light. So he comes to Jesus asking Him, how does this work? You obviously know something, or else you couldn't do the stuff you do. So how does this work? If we go even further from the bat of the goalpost, we find out, well, what was Nicodemus talking about? What stuff was Jesus doing? So we go back to the beginning of the gospel according to John, and we have Jesus presented as sitting on the right hand of the Father at the beginning of creation, the Christ, present with the Father in creation, creating the world, the Word creating everything. And then we see that Jesus, that Christ being incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and then coming onto the scene. And He comes on the scene in John, comes to a wedding. First thing, He comes to an expression of the flesh, right? Two human beings joining their lives together, and it's a regular, normal wedding. They run out of wine, they fill the jugs with water. And Jesus turns that water into a different kind of wine entirely. And so this normal flesh banquet becomes a banquet of water in the Spirit. becomes a messianic banquet. And then immediately from there, where does he go? He goes to the temple. He goes to the temple and he flips the tables of the money changers. He flips the tables of the money changers who have turned the avenue for light and love into an economic transaction. Returned it to a flesh. Because that's what economic transactions are. They're flesh. They're us trying to make an agreement with each other. Trying to take something, buy something, trade something. It's all flesh. Jesus says, this is not what the temple is for. The temple is for water in the Spirit, light and love. Now, all of a sudden, Nicodemus' conversation with Jesus just got a whole lot more interesting. Because apparently, Jesus is not only concerned with you saying the magic phrase that will get you into heaven when you die. Apparently, Jesus wants far more than that. Jesus wants to transform your life and mine, the life of Nicodemus, the life of everyone who's listening, into people who are light and love, who have been transformed by water and the Spirit, and that manifest the works of light and love in the world. And so if we go outside the goalpost on the other side and we see where Jesus goes next, he immediately goes to the river and begins baptizing people. It's the only gospel that has Jesus actually baptizing people. He steps into the water and he baptizes to show himself. This is what it looks like. Submit your whole self so that the Lord can transform it by water and the Spirit. Not just this little part of you, your soul that you're worried about, that what happens when you die. No, he wants it all, and he wants it now. Every single aspect of your life, so that your life becomes a life that is driven by love and light. And then he goes and has this beautiful, tender conversation with the woman at the well, who's just doing her best to make a life of the flesh, just living in the world, trying to stay alive, trying to have a place to live. She's schlepping water. And he says, I have water that will satiate your thirst forever, regardless of how thirsty you are in the flesh. It's kind of fun to get outside the goalpost. Get on out and see what Jesus is actually interested in, what Jesus is really wanting to do. He wants to transform us into people by water in the Spirit, into the people of light and love. So during the season of Lent, when we are sort of examining our lives, I think we have one interesting question here today. What are the other things in the world of the flesh that are competing for you, who want your life, who want you to commit yourself to them? The things of the flesh that want you to commit yourself to them, and instead of being committed to water and Spirit and light and love. The list goes on and on, doesn't it? But I think they kind of fall into two categories, all of them. All of the works of the flesh fall into two categories, desire and fear. Desire and fear. Desire for what? Desire, I don't know, just for more. Right? As long as we live in that whole system that I am what I buy, I am what I have, I am what I control, I am what's within my reach, it's all the flesh. And it's all about just acquiring, desiring something that someone else has, and desiring somebody that someone else has. It's all about desire, and it never gets filled, ever. And we just become people who are just supposed to buy stuff, either literally or figuratively. And so we end up with garages and drawers and closets chock full of plastic junk that no one needs. What is that? It's just trying to fill this desire somehow. And to that, Jesus says, you must be born again. The only way to get out of this is to be born again, a start over, a redo, a born again, born anew, born from above, something else. And what's the flip side of desire? It's fear. right? Because if I spend all my life acquiring things, then the next thing that happens to me is I'm afraid. Because you might come take it. You might take what I have, what I've worked so hard to acquire. So now I'm afraid. And this may just be me. So I don't know about you, but I think that 24-hour news, regardless of the political persuasion, is a tool designed to create anxiety and fear in your life. It's all that's on there. It's all that's on there. I don't even remember what channel it was on, but I actually heard one of the announcers say this. She was interviewing somebody about something we're all supposed to be afraid of. And she goes, "So tell us, what should we be anxious about?" Straight up asked him. I thought, well, at least that's transparent. It's a machine that's designed to create fear, and we respond. We respond by building tighter walls and bigger locks and arming ourselves and piling up weapons and ammunition just in case somebody decides they're going to come take what we have. And Jesus says, no, flips the table. No. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Because you can't protect it anyway. That's the biggest lie perpetrated, that you could actually guard it. So what Jesus wants is not just your soul. He wants to change you into a person who wants different things. Who wants the kingdom, who wants light and love. Freedom, liberty, compassion, forgiveness, mercy. So here's what I hope will happen since I put up this set. And since we have John 3:16 between the goalposts, here's what I hope will happen to you. The next time you see it, it'll be like a Pavlovian response. You'll see it. It will say, John 3:16. You'll say, I know that one. Jesus wants my whole life. And then you will pause right there and think, where is the one thing or the two little things right now in my life that I have yet to ask God to change? I have yet to ask God to transform. Where are the places where I'm living in desire and fear, where I'm living in the flesh? And right there in the middle of the football game, say, Lord, change that. Change that. Change me. Into a person who's been transformed by water and the Spirit into a person of light and love. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.